This meeting of the Community and Regional Affairs Committee will now come to order. It is 9 a.m. Thursday, April 25th, 2024 in Capitol Room 124. Members present are Representative Baker, Representative McKay, Representative Mears, and myself, Representative McCormick. Let the record reflect that we have a quorum to conduct business. Before we begin, I would like to thank Linda Jensen, the committee secretary from House Records, and Doug Bridges from the Juno LIO for staffing the committee today. I would also like to thank my committee aide, Callan Jaithluk-Sifsoff, for staffing the committee today. If you have any notes, please feel free to pass them to her. Today we will only be having one item on the agenda today. That is CSSJR20, a Senate Community Regional Affairs Committee resolution. So we'll hear testimony on that. We will take a public testimony, and it is my intention to move that by the end of committee today. So with that out of the way, we now welcome Senator Dunbar and staff, Ms. Arielle Wiggin. Well, would you please come forward, put yourself on the record, and introduce the legislation.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. For the record, this is Horace Dunbar, Senator from District J. This is my Chief of Staff, Arielle Wiggin. I thank you for hearing the bill today. I know you had a late night last night, and I hope you're not feeling under the weather. So, as we know, thank you. We're going to talk a little bit today about the AWOS system, and as well as the Automated Service Observing System. We know that the weather is serious business in Alaska when it comes to aviation, and the FAA, National Weather Service, help maintain a variety of facilities around the state that allow us to get our planes to where they need to go safely. Unfortunately, about 59% of these stations have reported outages, full outages, and 77% partial outages yearly for the last several years. So what this resolution would do is ask our federal delegation, Congress more broadly, a specific subset, which I believe Senator Hughes will speak to, a specific subcommittee that is reauthorizing the FAA, and the FAA and NWS itself to try to fix these systems so that we don't find ourselves in a situation where food can't get to where it needs to go, and medicine can't get to where they need to go, and where flights aren't being diverted. So with that, Mr. Chair, those are my remarks. This passed the Senate unanimously, and there is a little bit of time sensitivity to this resolution, so I very much appreciate you taking it up quickly.
Thank you, Senator Dunbar. I would just like to note for the record, we were joined at 9:02 by Vice Chair McCabe. Senator Dunbar, should we move now to Senator Hughes to give her remarks, or would you like to hear from your...
If that would please the chair, I think that would work well for us.
Senator Hughes, we can see you in the back of the room. It looks like you are unmuted, so please go right ahead.
Good morning, Mr. Chair and members of the committee. I thank you for squeezing this in at the end of the session, and I want to thank Senator Dunbar for carrying this. It came to my attention after the deadline for personal legislation, and because it has great impact on rural communities, I thought it was appropriate to be a community and regional affairs piece of legislation. It is, I do want to thank you, Mr. Chair, also for requesting a waiver of Rule 23 to get this in here as we come down the final runway, which is a good word to use, I guess, as we're talking a bit about AWOS, which, by the way, I didn't know what AWOS was until rather recently, and Senator Dunbar explain that, what that acronym is, but it is important, and I discovered it in our food security work. We have a transportation and infrastructure committee that was looking at the distribution of food and discovered there was tremendous food spoilage in rural communities and traced it back to one of the problems being the outages of AWOS. In my conversations with the federal delegation, I learned that back in 2018, this was brought to the attention during the Reauthorization Act, FAA Reauthorization Act time 5 years ago. And it was lightly, touched on, but there wasn't much progress. In fact, it's gotten a little bit worse. And so we felt it was time to really step up. And the beauty of this, as you know, we often do resolutions and we wonder what happens to them when they go to DC. In this particular instance, the FAA reauthorization is due to expire on May 10th. The House has passed the bill in U.S. Congress. The Senate has a bill ready, and they want it to be in agreement with the houses so there is no delay. And so rather than having a conference committee after the Senate passes its version, they are having a pre-conference committee even right now, trying to work out the details so there will be concurrence by the House. And in speaking with our federal delegation, the importance of really precisely drilling down on this issue is vital. And so part of the resolution, you will see there are very specific recommendations of what can be done. And I'll just give one example. And that is that FAA would keep spare parts on hand and that they would have the staff that could actually fix these or work in coordination with DOT to get them fixed. It also advises that they update the technology. The AWOS is actually an older system that requires landlines. And so there is newer technology that would be more resilient and could benefit from even the redundancy of low Earth orbit satellites. So these are some of the specific recommendations. On the final page, the copies are being sent to the usual suspects. But we actually also included, which is unique, I believe, for a resolution, to send the resolution to the actual House and Senate chairs of this conference committee and the ranking members, so that it will be in their hands shortly. I'm hoping this will pass the House so we can get it to D.C. before they finalize. This is a life safety issue. We have the number since we've had these outage problems. By the way, the repair can be anywhere from a few days to a few hundred days, and that is unacceptable that on any one given day, one out of three is not working. This impacts passenger service, medical emergency care, medication delivery, cargo delivery, including food, and it is frustrating, I know, to our pilots. And I'm not sure if you have expert testimony. I know Ariel was working on that, but they can speak to the specifics. But I just want to thank you. We're hoping that some tangible solutions here will get this problem fixed so that we won't, at the next FAA reauthorization time, have to come back and address this. And I also want to acknowledge that Representative Donna Mears, Mr. Chair, has been part of our task force and work on this issue. And I appreciate her support for addressing this. I think this is a really sensible item, and it will be good to see something that actually gets fixed at our request. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Senator Hughes. I'd like to note for the record, we were joined at 9:06 by Representative Himshut, and we are also joined in the gallery by Representative Gray. Senator Dunbar, I see we have two folks who have joined us via Teams. We have Mike Jones and Teams screen says Will Day, but I have Kinesic here.
I think Will Day is also one of our invited testifiers.
Okay.
His jacket says Will Day as well, so I think that is Will Day.
All right, thank you. Thanks. Okay, it was a late night last night. Having trouble.
Either order, Mr. Chair. Okay. Yeah.
Mr. Jones, if you'd like to begin with your testimony, please go right ahead.
Thank you so much, Mr. Chairman. For the record, my name is Mike Jones. I'm a research assistant professor of economics at the University of Alaska Anchorage at ICER in the Institute of Social and Economic Research. My research, funded by the Senate Finance Committee in collaboration with UAF's Quasi-Drone Center, focuses on aviation infrastructure and supply chains for essential goods like fresh foods and medicine and off-road communities. We've also put a significant focus on enabling aviation supply chains within the Food Strategy Task Force and the Transport and Infrastructure Committee, chaired by DC Keith of DOT. And through field visits to Kotzebue and Bethel, which legislators were a part of, and thank you, Mr. Chairman, for joining part of our Bethel hangar tours, We've actually heard firsthand from many air carriers about extensive outages in the automated weather observation or AWOS stations. So a weather report from a source like an AWOS is generally required to get FAA authorization to fly into an airport under many inclement weather conditions that are really, really common in our off-road communities, especially in Western Alaska. And these outages in Alaska are extensive and widespread. And I've actually worked with DOT folks with the raw FAA outage logs and been able to synthesize these outages over space and time. And it's really, really striking. We presented this data to the FAA, to the DOT, to the air carriers at the conference that Will Day actually ran, the Alaska Air Carrier Association conference. A lot of folks knew about all these issues, and they were just really, frankly, seemed to be quite grateful to be able to see the data laid out right in front and quantified. We have AWOS stations that are out for hundreds and hundreds of days with full outages and reduced service outages. And it is, and my work is seeking to quantify the impact of these reductions in infrastructure reliability on actual air traffic, and initial results are showing pretty substantial reductions. We're connecting that with delays in food deliveries and spoilage as well. The FAA, this is not to disparage the FAA at all. These are really good people that I've worked with. Many live in Alaska, are very dedicated to these communities. And these are folks that when we presented this data, they said, great, we're glad to have it. And it was actually sent to their colleagues in DC. And so I'm just really thankful that this committee has taken up this resolution, and I'll stand by for any technical questions. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Mr. Jones. Are there any questions before we proceed? Vice Chair McCabe.
Thanks. So, Mr. Jones, maybe this isn't for you, I don't know, but it seems to me, I mean, I've used AWOS, ASOS thousands, if not tens of thousands of times in my 10 years of pilot in Alaska. But in recent years, I haven't used them so much because the FAA has a weather cam system, which seems to be where they are directing all their money. Because frankly, as a pilot, I would much rather be able to look and see for myself than trust the automated system that might be parked downstream from somebody's wood stove smoke. So I'm curious, is the FAA the reason these are out of repairs because the FAA is funneling all the money towards the weather cam system, which also provide weather, temperature, wind speed, that kind of thing? Or is it because they're running out of parts? Because even the ASOS, it's newer, but it's not that new. So is that the issue? They're running out of parts and sending the money elsewhere, or is it just they're just don't care anymore?
Thank you, Representative. That is that might be a too specific of a question within the FAA's thinking for me to know the exact answer. I might ask Will if you might be able to elaborate on some of these differential investment strategies and reliability of these multiple systems.
Thank you, Mr. Day. Yeah. Mr. Day, please go right ahead. If you want to, I guess, just go
to your testimony. If you want him to go first, and I'll wait with a question.
Thank you, Vice Chair McCabe. I think what we'll do is just have you do your testimony, and then we'll open up for questions. That was my mistake. So, Mr. Day, if you'd please go ahead and proceed now.
Yeah, thank you very much. My name is Will Day. I'm the Executive Director of the Alaska Air Carriers Association. We represent all of Alaska's commercial air carriers and industry stakeholders. I want to start with how safer air transportation in Alaska functions. There are two types of overarching flight rules. You have instrument flight rules, IFR, and visual flight rules, VFR. Aircraft safety has improved drastically due to the ability of aircraft to fly through inclement weather using advanced instrument technology and instrument flight rules. So flying under safer instrument flight rules allows aircraft to travel to and from locations in conditions that would otherwise be inaccessible using the less safe visual flight rules. Flying IFR requires pilots to obtain destination weather data specifically from AWOS and ASOS weather stations. So that's AWOS and ASOS weather stations before flying to those destinations. When that data is inaccessible, pilots are restricted from flying to those destinations commercially. So the issue at hand, in March of this year, 44 of the 153 AWAS and ASOS stations experienced outages and operational issues. This means 44 communities were inaccessible at some time using instrument flight rules. When an outage occurs in a community beyond our road system and weather conditions render a destination only accessible using IFR, instrument flight rules, air transport for urgent medical emergencies, medication deliveries, and food supplies become impossible until conditions improve. Those conditions often remain unimproved for days or even weeks at a time. When urgent air transport is interrupted, residents in 82% of our communities lose their only source of that transportation. The fallout of this issue has and will continue to cost lives and to severely impact rural residents of Alaska. So we request that SJR 20 is enacted to ensure that all of Alaska's AWAS and ASOS stations are always maintained in complete operational status. When a station experiences an outage, it must be repaired and reinstated as soon as possible to mitigate the loss of life and negative impact on Alaskans. That's my testimony. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Day. Senator Hughes, I see you have your hand raised. Did you have a comment to make? Or was that just...
Yeah, I do, Mr. Chair.
Please go right ahead.
Thank you. And for the record, Shelley Hughes, District M. Palmer, I forgot to say that earlier. I do want to point out, I am not... we appreciate the Alaskans who work for FAA. In fact, many of us know Michael O'Hare, who formerly was with Alaska DOT. He is now the Alaskan Region Regional Administrator for FAA. They are very aware, and they have been urging this, and they need our support so that those on the East Coast at the headquarters will realize this is a problem. As far as through the chair, Representative McCabe, your question, the law passed in 2018 required the maintenance of AWAS, and so the it's in law that they have to do it. It could be that, you know, they are putting money into these webcams, but they are still required to maintain these. So that has not gone away. So I thought I would just provide that information. And thank you again, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Senator Hughes. Are there any further questions from committee members for our testifiers this morning?
So,
Vice Chair McCabe.
Thanks, Mr. Day. I am curious. You mentioned you sort of characterized VFR rules as less safe. I don't know if your air taxi folks would necessarily agree with that. There are, maybe you could tell me how many villages actually have instrument approaches. So for those that don't know, under IFR flight rules, if you don't have an instrument approach to a village, then it becomes really unsafe because at some point you have to transition from IFR to VFR in the middle of nowhere with sometimes no guidance, although it's getting better with GPS and ADS-B and that kind of stuff. So how many villages have instrument approaches? Maybe you don't have any idea of that, but the air carriers go to a significant number of the larger villages, but the smaller villages are no less important.
Certainly. Is it appropriate to respond this time?
Yes, please, Mr. Day.
Yeah, to be frank with you, I don't have that answer. I think that's a very important question to find an answer to, and certainly it could be answered. So I have with me, I have Dan Owen, who's the owner-operator of Alaska Air Transit, who's extremely familiar with this issue, and I certainly don't mean to undermine the importance of the villages that are VFR access only. That is absolutely true. What I'm trying to communicate here is the significant safety advantage to flying above hazardous terrain in conditions and through conditions that would otherwise make travel to those destinations in those types of situations hazardous. So I suggest having Dan answer that question.
Mr. Owen, welcome to the Community and Regional Affairs Committee. If you can unmute, I do see you on the screen, if you can answer that question.
Yeah, sure, I'm unmuted now. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can. Thank you.
A couple of issues here come up just regarding this this piece about IFR versus VFR. Will is correct. IFR is far more safe. My own background, I've been operating Alaska Air Transit for the past 20 years as of the 10th of this month. Prior to that, I was a Delta Airlines pilot. Before that, I was a Navy pilot. Major airlines aren't allowed to operate VFR because of the safety factor. We have to do that in many cases because there is no infrastructure. But where there is infrastructure, particularly when there's inclement weather, IFR is far safer. One of the issues that comes up when we try to go to an airport that does not have an instrument approach, the way for us to get there generally, and Will's correct, flying above the terrain in IFR is much safer than trying to fly through it, through a pass or something like that. There's a lot of wreckage in passes. But we'll have to get down out of the clouds somewhere. And if there's no approach or no operating weather at an airport that does have an approach, we've got to go somewhere else and do an approach to get to visual conditions and try to make it through VFR to that airport. So we're back to the piece about what they call scud running, trying to get from to a destination airport in inclement weather. Most all the CFIT accidents in Alaska, first of all, CFITs are generally fatal, and nearly all of them are the result of operating VFR in inclement weather. I don't have data on how many approaches there are in the state. There are a lot of approaches. We're an IFR operator. We're impacted by this AWAS outage nearly always, or the lack of connectivity to the AWAS system. So there's several issues. One is an AWAS station may be functioning. The other is we may not be able to get the information because of connectivity problems. But and that's the case right now. We're supposed to be going out to Hooper Bay today. There's an AWAS there. There's an approach. But you cannot retrieve the data except for by calling the AWAS station on the phone to retrieve it. So what does that do? If you can only get it through the phone, that means that it's not available to the FAA, the National Weather Service, to the ADS-B, which is a system that provides that weather information in the cockpit to the pilot. So, and so that there's kind of a multi-pronged problem here, and that is AWAS functionality itself or AWAS connectivity so that the information is available. I'm not sure if I answered your question, but I think the question had to do with how many airports have approaches, and the answer is quite a few. How many are impacted by AWAS outages? The answer is also a substantial number, and we're experiencing that today. The last hearing I was in on, we had a flight that could not go because of an AWAS outage. That was at Scammon Bay.
Thank you, Mr. Owen. Mr. Jones, I see you have your hand raised. Was there a comment you wanted to make?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Through the chair, Representative McCabe, I do not have that exact number for you, but I found in my records that we've actually pulled and synthesized all of the ground tech, each runway for each approach in a spreadsheet. And so that is information that I could get you. And as far as the AWAS outages in particular, just broad numbers that 59% of all of the AWAS or ASOS stations experienced at least some full outage, and 77% of stations experienced at least some reduced service outage. And there are, I believe, 151, I think that's the correct number, of AWAS and ASOS stations throughout the state. Some are in the same airport. Of the 237 or so public airports that exist. So a substantial percentage, but also a substantial number of airports that do not have AWAS or AWAS stations still may have a webcam. And I would be happy to synthesize that information for you if that's helpful for this discussion.
Thank you, Mr. Jones. Follow-up, Vice Chair McCabe.
Thanks. So I think what I'm trying to get to, maybe Dan Owens, you're the best. And I used to play banjo with your wife, by the way. What I'm trying to get to is, can you dispatch, and I'm not clear of this because I've been doing 121 flying for the last 25 years, but can you dispatch based on webcam data? Or do you need AWAS data before you can dispatch under 135 IFR?
No, we're like 121. We have to have destination weather at about the ETA that either the combination of observations and forecasts are above minimums for us to dispatch IFR to an airport.
So follow up. So my point is I'm asking because I just don't know. Is the destination weather under a webcam acceptable to the FAA for dispatch, or does it have to come from an AWAS ASOS system?
Sure. No, it's not acceptable. So the only thing that is acceptable is certified or approved weather, and that's going to be either an AWAS ASOS or an FAA certified weather observer, human observer.
Follow up. So that's exactly what I was trying to get to. Sorry, I'm as tired as the rest of the committee this morning, and maybe not framing my questions quite right. But my point is the one of the reasons, and I don't really see it in here, that you have to have AWAS and ASOS, and not just, I think they have 230 webcams in Alaska right now or something like that. But you still have to have this older technology to dispatch under IFR. I mean, we've heard a couple of the guys say IFR is safer, and I don't necessarily disagree. A ton of stuff happens VFR, but to get from IFR to VFR or to do an instrument approach and get dispatched and all that kind of stuff relies on this proven older technology that they're not maintaining. And I think that was my point. So thanks.
Sure. Could I add one thing?
Yes, please. Go right ahead, Mr. Owen.
Yeah, the other thing is when we get to a place, we have to be able to determine if the weather is above visibility minimums to do an approach, just like Part 121. So without an ASOS, we have no ability to do that. And further about the cameras, I should offer that they are far less expensive than an ASOS or AWAS. I donated a four-camera site at Port Muller. It's up and running now. I think my total cost was about $10,000. I believe an AWAS minimum, this is about 4 years ago, was about over $1 million, not including the cost to get to a location that's well out of the way. For example, someplace like Atka.
Thank you, Mr. Owen. Representative Hemshute.
Thank you, Chair McCormick. Through the chair, I do have a question, but I also want to comment on the irony. If you're trying to get to Atka, the only way to get there is by airplane, and if AWAS is out, how do you get there to fix it? So anyway, that's got to be a problem that folks will have to figure out. My question is, we are talking a lot about, and rightfully, about being able to access some of the most remote places in Alaska where people are living and reliant on air service. But I notice this is National Weather Service. Is this data, and I don't know if anybody online with us today can answer this, but is this data used in climate tracking? So to me, there's an additional motivation to keep these stations up if the data is being used in National Weather Service or other climate tracking databases. So does anybody know if, are these strictly used for aviation, or is there a secondary function of these systems?
Mr. Jones, I see you have your hand raised. Please go right ahead.
Thank you so much. Through the chair, yes, I believe you are correct. One of our first discussions about this with DOT also involved one of the heads of NOAA in the state, and Jessica Cherry, and she was pretty impassioned about this as well, that she needs these reports coming from these stations to be able to build forecasting models, particularly, for example, for potential flooding warnings and long-term just climatological records. So, yes, I do believe you're correct, and I can get more information for you on that from those individuals.
Thank you, Mr. Jones. Mr. Owen, I see you have your hand raised. Please go ahead. Mr. Owen, you're muted.
Sorry about that.
That's all right.
Follow on to that answer with regard to the National Weather Service, aviation weather forecasting models depend on feedback from these AWASs. So the forecasting will be less reliable, less accurate without AWAS inputs. Those come through what's called the NADIN, the National, I think it's Aerospace Data Interchange Network, which is a connectivity piece that gets AWAS information to the National Weather Service, to the FAA, to the ADS-B system for onboard viewing, and for us when we're dispatching just through the internet access through National Weather Service sites.
Thank you, Mr. Owen. Follow-up, Representative Hemshute.
Just a comment, Chair McCormick. I would love to add a whereas about the need for the But I understand the purpose of this is to get reliable service to communities. I know one of my own communities, Yakutat, has struggled with this for years. So I'm very supportive of this resolution, as is. Thanks.
Thank you, Representative Himshute. Representative Baker.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Through the chair, Representative Thomas Baker from Kotzebue, this question is probably towards Dr. Jones. Good to see you again. I was curious if there's any consistency in where we have AWOS, ASOS down. If it's rotating because the number was thrown out there, if it's a 1 in 3 chance that one is down, and given the time frame it's taking to get them fixed back up and running, or is it just one's been down for the last year? So that's one of the 1 in 3, if that question makes sense.
Through the chair, thank you, Representative Baker, and it's great to see you again. And thank you as well for joining us in Kotzebue when the task force visited as well. The length of outages by airport is not consistent at all. Some stations are out for significantly longer than others. For example, there's about a 1,500-day period in Amonok where there was a reduced service outage. Ruby, I see, had an outage for over a year. Holy Cross, for example, had a full outage from about midway through 2020 until about March of 2021. And so this 1 in 3 outage stat, which the FAA has acknowledged, the data shows quite clearly, it absolutely has an undercurrent of stations that have long-term outages and others that have punctuated shorter-term outage situations. But even an outage for a week or two seems to be able to cause quite a disruption. And when I'm looking at graphs that run from 2019 to 2024 with fairly long bars on them, I mean, these long outages, I don't think these are representative at all of the situations outside of Alaska in terms of AWOS and ASOS outage and recovery times.
Follow-up, Representative Baker.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, Dr. Jones. I didn't see it in the packet, and I was just curious if we could get that information disseminated just as a point of information, just so that folks can see what communities have been affected, how long they've been affected. Fully support this resolution and the intent here, and just hoping to get people a little more understanding of what some of the issues facing rural Alaska is. So thank you, Dr. Jones, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Representative Baker. Are there any further questions for our testifiers this morning? Hearing none, what we'll do now is open public testimony. I don't see anyone in the room, but we'll now open public testimony. I've used the joke about someone hiding under a chair too many times, so I'm not going to employ that one. But I don't think we have anyone on the line, and I don't see anyone here in person. Oh, Representative Gray, this is an interesting turn of events. Please go right ahead, Representative Gray.
And my name is Andrew Gray, representative for House District 20, the UMED in Anchorage. And as somebody who visited Bethel and Kotzebue, to look at the way that we are transporting food to the outlying rural villages, what we heard over and over and over again was that the outage of AWOS systems was causing flights to be delayed or not to go at all. And when we had chill, which was the most perishable of foods, waiting, it meant that that food would spoil. I am in strong support of this resolution because at least what we heard from the pilots and the folks working at the different hangars in those two communities was that the outage of AWOS was absolutely adversely affecting their ability to get fresh food delivered to our rural villages. Thank you for allowing me to testify.
Thank you for your testimony, Mr. Gray. And also, I just want to thank you for coming out to Bethel. Also, Dr. Jones, I felt very privileged to be able to speak with you. It was very exciting to hear how passionate you were about solving our problem, our spoilage problem. And I apologize. I was actually on a trip to Tuxuk Bay with the Alaska Mental Health Trust, and so I wasn't able to do that in totality. But still, the time we did have to meet was very valuable to me. So I want to thank you, Representative Gray, and Dr. Jones for coming out to Bethel and participating in that. So we're still on public testimony, but I do not see anyone on the line that wishes to testify, so I will now close public testimony. Vice Chair McCabe. Oh, I would entertain a motion to move the bill.
Thank you, Chair McCormick. I move CSSJR20, Work Order 33-LS1505/Uniform from committee with individual recommendations and attached zero fiscal notes.
Is there any objection? Hearing none, the bill passes from committee. We will now go at ease while members sign the committee report. Brief at ease. We are now back on the record. I want to thank everyone who called in to testify this morning, Dr. Jones, Mr. Day, Mr. Owen, Senator Hughes, Senator Dunbar, and Ms. Wiggin for presenting on the bill today. The time is 9:38 a.m., and this hearing of the Community Regional Affairs Committee is now adjourned.